Esther chapter 5. Well, the cameraman, as it were, of divine inspiration is sort of zoomed in close on Esther now as she goes into the king, absolutely nervous, as very scared. She puts on her royal clothing. She stands in the inner court, and the king sits on his royal throne next to the entrance. And when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favour. The king held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand, and Esther came near and touched the top of the sceptre. As I say, we're all zoomed in close, seeing the whole thing so that we can reconstruct it in our own minds and play what Harry Whittaker used to call Bible television with the text. And I think that all the way through, her nerve fails her. What would you like, Queen Esther? What's your request? It shall be given you even to the half of the kingdom. And she, I think, was intending to do what Mordecai had asked her to do, and to say, look, please, can you not do what you're planning? Can you please somehow undo the decree to kill all of us, because, my lord, I am a Jewess. Mordecai, raise me, Mordecai the Jew. And I know some people say, ah, this is a great example of sort of female psychology and a clever, calculating, amateur psychologist, female sort of dominating the powerful male. Well, yeah, maybe, but I don't quite see it that way. She was a virgin, obviously, when she married the king, and she'd have been a teenager. I mean, girls got married pretty young in those days. She was, what, 18, 19? She was bricking herself with fear. She was terrified. She was a girl who just suddenly got chucked into huge, mega-scale politics that were beyond her. And I think that she loses her nerve. What do you want? I'll give you whatever you want, my dear. Well, what she wanted was, you know, reverse the decree and to tell him, I'm a Jewess. And she loses her nerve and says, could you and Haman come to a banquet today? Now, to invite somebody to a banquet the same day, normally there was quite a lot of preparation that went on, and this was put on the diary kind of thing, so it's all a bit unusual. Come tonight. And I've said that the name of God, any reference to God, is not found throughout the book of Esther because, as in our age today, God is not working through big strike miracles. He is working indirectly, no less powerfully, but through the workings of his spirit, through providence. And although the name of God doesn't occur in the Hebrew text of Esther, the letters YHVH, Yahweh, are found in various forms in some of the verses as acrostics. That is, you see, maybe each sentence begins with YH, then VH or whatever, and so on. And this verse is one of those verses. It's as if the name of God, the glory of Yahweh, God of Israel, is here revealed through a nervous teenager getting stage fright. And so the king agrees, and the king comes to her at the banquet of wine. I suggested earlier that I think he drank too much. A lot of his silly decisions were made under the influence, but that's in passing. We are set up now to expect her to come out with her request. It's the evening, it's a banquet of wine. She's plied him with alcohol, and he says, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and my request is this. And we are there with our hearts in our mouths, waiting for her to come out with it. But again, it's a case of stage fright. She says, can you come tomorrow to another banquet? She just lost it at the last minute. She just lost it. I mean, the king was busy. He didn't have time to hang out with his wives, having meals and banquets, etc. And he hadn't called for her for at least 30 days. And it was a big thing that she'd come to him without being invited and that he had accepted her. And you think, oh, Esther, don't play your luck too far, girl. I mean, come out with it, spit it out. But she doesn't because she gets stage fright. She just can't. And he agrees. Haman goes out joyful and glad of heart, absolutely arrogant and stuck up himself. And then he sees Mordecai not bowing. And he is angry, comes home, boasts to his family and friends about what a wonderful top bloke he thinks himself to be. God hates pride. And he then comes out with this thing in verse 13 of Esther 5, as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate, this is all nothing. And again, this is another verse where the letters YHVH are found as a kind of an acrostic there in human pride, in this man's arrogance. The glory of Yahweh was going to be revealed. So they make this gallows upon which they're going to hang Mordecai. So he's scuttling off the next day to teach how, to ask the king for Mordecai to be killed immediately. He just couldn't wait all those months to the pogrom when he's going to kill all the Jews. He had to get Mordecai out straight away. And we know that that is to be his undoing. Because, as we know how the story goes, that the king can't sleep that night, and he reads in the records, in his diary as it were, and he finds that Mordecai hasn't been rewarded for saving his life. So he's inclined now to glorify Mordecai, and he's not going to be happy at any idea of killing him, nor killing his adopted daughter Esther. But that is the hand of God. And it only worked because of Esther getting stage fright. Of Esther getting so bricked up, she just can't spit it out, so she says, oh, could you come back tomorrow? God works through that. And if you think, well, I'm not a great one for preaching the gospel, who am I? I'm not very good at that kind of thing. I'm all kind of nervous. I don't know my Bible verses. I'm not really an extrovert. And you know, that's true of me, actually. Certainly when I was younger, that's definitely how I was. And, you know, we are the sort of people that God uses. Absolutely. We are the sort of people that God uses. He doesn't use the smart and the suave and the clever and the humanly impressive. It's not his style. You can give out, as I once did many, many years ago now, decades ago, on the streets of Riga. Load of leaflets, green little leaflets they were, flyers. And yeah, I got replies. And I got one reply with a footprint on it. Someone had chucked it down, someone else had trodden on it, someone else picked it up and gave it to their father, who wrote to me and got Bible basics, got baptized, and so all the work in Riga began from that old man who's been dead in Christ for decades now. But all the, you know, thousands really of baptisms we had over the years in Latvia all began with him, that old man, who got Bible basics. He translated it into Russian straight away. We were able to print it and distribute it, and thousands of people heard the gospel, all from a leaflet that had been dropped on a street outside the railway station by the traffic lights there, that big pedestrian crossing there, and someone else had trodden on it, and somebody else had picked it up and gave it to their father. That's how God works. This is his style, and you must have seen that in your life. And that is how God works, and it's how he's going to work now with Esther.